Well, good morning again. Welcome to church. As we continue our study in the book of 2 Corinthians, so that's what we're doing. We're studying 2 Corinthians. We find ourselves in chapter 3, verse 18, through chapter 4, verse 6. So go ahead and turn your Bibles there. Let's open up our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, all the way through 4, 6. In your outline, it says chapter 3, verse 12 through 4, 6. That's wrong. What we're going to be looking at today is verse 18 through 4-6. As you find your place, as you get your outline out, find your place in your Bible, get your Bibles turned to 2 Corinthians, and as we settle down and prepare our hearts to listen to God's Word this morning and it proclaimed, let me just tell you something that's about the Apostle Paul's topic here. And I'll say it just this way. What his topic here is the key that sustains your life. That sound exciting? It is. This is the key that sustains our life. What he's teaching here, what the topic is, it's that important. Well, Pastor Ken would tell us what the key is. There is a focus in our life that sustains us. It truly does. There is a focus in our life that grows us. It really does. There's a focus in our life that carries us along, and that focus is for all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's for all of us. It's the same one. That's what I'm trying to say. It's the same for you. It's the same for you. It's the same for all of us. It's the same focus. It's the focus that we are in each day of our life. It's the focus in each thing in our life. It's the focus that we are here on today about what your mind and your heart is to be upon. That's the focus. I entitled it Looking Intently at the Glory of the Lord. That's our focus in this life that sustains us. And that's what Paul's going to be teaching. What we are to be seeing with our eyes, what we're to be looking at with our heart, what we're to be beholding with our life as the key to this life is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when I say glory, you need to have a definition of that, because you're going to say, so where's the light shining? If I look at the light shining and that kind of thing, glory means the character, the nature, the way, and the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the glory of God, shining in the face of Christ, which is in our text. It's the way, it's the truth, it's the nature, it's the character of God. We got to be focused on that to sustain this life. But before we get into that, let me just review where we've been in 2 Corinthians. Just to try to help us pick up that this is all just flowing out of Paul's heart and mind, flowing in God's word. This is all connected as he would teach. Let's go back to chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. You know, when we were there in chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, we saw Paul's discouragement in his heart. Hey, man, he was down. Even the scripture says he was depressed. That's where he was at. Life was tough for Paul. It was difficult for Paul. He had infirmities and afflictions and all kinds of things. He even wrote that he was afflicted from every side, conflicts without, fears within. He was distraught. And then in verse 14, he said this, he taught us this, but God always leads us in triumph in Christ through it all. And that's what we looked at. And we looked that in Christ, that God is leading us in Christ in triumph through it all. There's a triumphal procession going on that we are God's, we are Christ, we are the children of God, the body of Christ. God has the triumphal procession going in. The victory is at the end. And that God is leading all of this in Christ. He's leading all of us. That's what we were teaching there, that God's truth and his purpose comes through it all. That's what we're learning in Sunday school. And Jesus leads us in that triumphal procession. And God, and he said in that text that we looked at, is using you and me, us, to proclaim the gospel in it all, to proclaim the truth of God in it all, to proclaim God's way, his character, his nature, his truth, who he is, why he came, what he did, all of God, God's glory, all of the attributes of God, all of the character of God. He's using that on our lives to proclaim it. And he says it like this: your life is a sweet aroma of the knowledge of God to all kinds of people. That was incredible when we looked at that, wasn't it? And that's what Paul was teaching. And then he said this, and your life is a fragrance of Christ Jesus to God. That was incredible when we looked at that. And that's what he was teaching, that our lives can be a sweet aroma of the knowledge of God to people. It can be a fragrance of Christ, the truth of Christ, right up into the nostrils of God. And then Paul said this, man, who's adequate for that? Or who's adequate for that? People aren't adequate for that. God, we're not adequate for that. But in our salvation, what did Paul say next? What did we learn next? He went on to teach us that God has made you and me adequate by his divine power to be servants, to be ministers of this new covenant relationship found with Christ. God has made us adequate. Our adequacy is from God. He's made us able. He's made us capable. That was in chapter 3, verse 6. And that God is displaying his truth, his way, his glory through us in the new life that we have in Christ and the new relationship we have with God. And we studied that, and then we went to chapter 3, verse 6 through 18. And so then Paul shows us, he has us look, so let's show you the character and nature of that new relationship. Let's teach the church what the nature and the character of that new relationship that you have with God through Christ. Let's look at how it works and what it is and what this new covenant brought. And we looked at all of that for weeks and weeks. It gives life. God's life, it produces a right way in our living, a right way of desire in our living. It's permanent. God's not going to take it away. It brings you hope. We looked at all of that and all of this life and whatever's going on in this life. It brings clarity to God's truth. We looked at that. It's Christ-centered. It's Christ-focused. It's not self-centered, self-focused. And we saw in this new covenant life that we have that God is displaying His truth, His character, His nature, His attributes, the glory of God shining in our life. It's empowered by the Holy Spirit to live this new life, and it transforms the way we live. It transforms the way we live, how we think, and what we live for. And like the song, it's from the inside out. It's what God's doing, because what He's done in our salvation, He's bringing forth out of us what He has done. That's the character and nature of the new covenant relationship you have been given in salvation. We studied that, looked at that. Now what does Paul go to? All right, what are you going to focus on to sustain that? That's what we're going to look at. We'll begin today. We're going to look at it more than just today. So what do you look at that sustains that? How are you going to sustain that life that God's given you? Gives life, has a righteous desire in its heart. It's Christ-centered. It's empowered by the Holy Spirit, right? It has all hope. It's permanent. It's in our life. How are we going to sustain that as human beings? How are we going to sustain that as God's children? What are we going to do? Now that's what Paul moves to, what sustains this new life. What are we to be focused on to keep it on track? That's the answer. That brings us to our passage today. Here's the key that sustains our life. Look at 3:18 and following. And as I read it, I want you to listen. I want you to listen to God's word and hear what He's talking about. Looking and seeing and sight and all of those kind of things. Because they're all in there for a reason. God put them in there. God knew the language. God wrote the language. And He wanted you to see in the language what He was talking about. So the words in there matter, and why He's saying them in this way. So I want you to focus on seeing sight. And what would we be looking at? Because that's what He's talking about. Now, here we come to chapter 3, verse 18 to 4 through 6. And listen to what Paul writes, what God says. He says this, "But we with all unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we've received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, and whose the case of this God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Light shall shine out of the darkness,' is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." What an incredible thing to say. You heard it, what he said, didn't you? Did you hear what God is teaching us about how we're going to fix our lives to keep it on track? You heard it, right? Verse 18, now that you can see, you got an unveiled face. Now that you guys can see, look at the glory of the Lord. Focus in on it. So now, verse 1 and 2, you can live a certain way in the sight of God, in the sight of unsaved people, that you can give the light of God's glory, be a light of Christ. But even if people can't see, they're blinded so they can't see the light, so they can't see the glory of God. But God has shown light in your heart so you can give light to what is God's glory, what's God's character, so others can see. That's what he just taught us. He just told us in this life, if we're going to focus in on what we're here to do and what our life is about and why God saved us and why God has the church here and why God is doing all of this and this is what our life is about, let me put it in this simple language in what he says in here. So since you can see, what do you focus in on so you will live so others can see? That's exactly what he taught. So since you can see the glory of God, the glory of Christ, the truth of Christ, the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the greatness of God, everything that God has done in your life in salvation now, you can see. You can see truth, you can see reality, you can see the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the love of God, the justice of God, the realness of God, the sovereignty of God. You can see all of God in Christ. What are we going to focus on so we will live in such a way so others look at our life and they can see God? That's all he's talking about. If we got this new covenant life in our life, if we got this new that gives life, that produces righteousness, that does all of this, how are we going to sustain that? Go live how we want to live? Go focus in on what we want to focus in on? Go just do whatever we're going to do. Is that how that works? Paul comes right back and he just tells us, gets right on us, and tells us, okay, so now that you can see, you got to focus in on something. What do we look at? That's what we're going to look at for 2 weeks. Look at verse 18. He tells us right there, but we with all unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. There's what you look at. You look at the glory of the Lord. We live focused on Christ. That's the answer. Psalm 16:8 says it this way. This is what David said as he was talking about this, teaching it. He said this in verse 8. I have set the Lord continually before me. Well, you know what that means? He's constantly in my vision. Everything that I do in my life and what I'm going on, his character, his nature, his attributes, his grace, his mercy, his love, his truth, I just set it before me. It's in front of me in everything I do. I just see the goodness of God and the goodness of Christ, of the Lord, and I see the reality of him, and I see who he was, why he came, what he did. It's all in front of my vision. I set it there constantly. He said, I set it there constantly. I place it in front of me every day in everything I do, whether you're at work, whether you're tending the cows, whether you're tilling the ground, whether you're spraying the bugs. It's just there. It's God's truth. It's in there, whether I'm raising my family, whatever it is. And this is what he said. It makes my heart glad. My character rejoices. I will not be shaken, and he will not abandon me. You know, so we know God doesn't abandon us as Christians, but you know what happens when you don't set the Lord in front of you and his truth and life comes? You think he abandoned you. And when you don't set the Lord continually before you in his truth and his way and his life, you get shaken and your character falls and your heart isn't glad. It's absolutely true. You guys know this is a testimony of your life. And then those things happen and you turn back to the Lord and you find him and his truth. And Hebrews 12:1-2 says, we read that today, but it says this, that you in this life run a race of faith. This is a faith race. And we're to be looking at something while we're running the race. It says right in the text, fixing our eyes on the Lord Jesus. He's to be our focus. Paul says the key that sustains you in this life is your focus. And it has to be one thing, has to be your focus. Now, we see a lot of other things, and we got things to do, and we got to, if we're mowing the lawn, please focus on mowing the lawn. Don't run over the children's toys or the children. Well, I was focusing on Jesus, so I couldn't see him in front of the lawn. Now, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is in this life for the believer, you have a focus. There's a serious focus that we need to have. Now, let me illustrate this to you. You know, I coach baseball a lot, and I've done a little league a lot. And so when I coach them, you know, I teach them how to catch, and I played in college and all that, and so I teach them how to catch and how to throw and some things about how to hit, get their hands up and all this, but I make one thing to be a hitter. I make one thing, the most important thing ever when I teach them about hitting. My nephews are going to come up here and help me. So Noah and Luke, go ahead and come up here and take your positions. We got a pitcher and a catcher here. But, you know, when I focus in on with the kids, I even have them repeat it as practice goes on. Because I tell them there's one thing. If you're going to hit the ball, if you're going to be a hitter, there's one thing. It really doesn't matter if your hands are up here and your stance is open, you know, and your swing is looped and all that. There's one thing. Go ahead, Noah. There's one thing. Go ahead. I promise he won't hit anybody, you guys. There's one thing. You got to look at the ball. There's one thing to make you a hitter. You got to focus in on the ball. I don't care how strong you are. I don't know how good you are. I don't care if you have your hands perfect, your stance perfect, your swing is level. If you don't focus in, go ahead, Noah. You don't have to knock your brother over either. Go ahead. See that? Because if you don't look at that, you're not going to hit. I can guarantee you. You can be the greatest athlete, and you can have great vision and all of that kind of thing. Throw it back to him. I can guarantee you. If you don't watch that thing, you're just going to wave at it, man. That's what's going to happen. Every now and then you might hit it. Go ahead, Noah. But you got to focus. You got to see the ball. That's what it is. That's what Paul's talking about in our text. Gentlemen, you can sit down. Thank you for your illustration for us. But I wanted you to capture that because that's what Paul is talking about in this life. You got to see the ball. You got to focus in on it in this life, in all of this life. You got to look at Christ. You got to see Christ, his glory, his character, his nature, his truth in everything. Now listen, I played baseball in college. What happens when you focus on the crowd? You're up there, I'm going to hit, man, and I can hear the crowd, and they're, hey, go, you know, we're at home, and everybody's cheering me on, and that kind of thing. Sometimes that helps, that others are for you. Thank you, Dan. It does help, God, and the people are for us, and they're all that kind of thing. But if you make that your focus, what happens when they're not for you? I can't hit. Man, did you hear? I played USC, man, they just wore me down. And the things that they said and all that kind of thing, and I made the focus, hearing them what they had to say and that kind of thing, I couldn't hit. You got to have a focus. The outside things can't come in. You know what, Craig, here you go. When I was in college, I 195, physically fit, ready to go, strong, you know, hit. Well, look at me now. Not much of a hitter. You know what? Get up there and throw the ball. I guarantee you I can hit it. You know why? Because I learned one thing. I'm going to focus on that ball. And really, it doesn't matter my physical fitness or the weakness that I have or the struggle that I have. Because if you're going to be a hitter, it's all about looking at that ball. That's what it's about. It's not about being all this perfectly strength and strong and all of those kind of things. It isn't about that. Now, we were playing one time. We were playing in I can't remember the ballpark. But we were playing in a game. It's an important game. I'm batting fifth in the lineup. And the leadoff hitter is Eric Fox. And I'm not picking on Eric. Eric's a good guy. But he gets up to the plate, and he's left-handed, and so the pitches are coming in. The first one is about 92 and about this high, right? So the pitcher throws one like that, and the pitcher's throwing pretty hard. So the next one is about 92 and about right there. Eric, man, he just missed it. Man, he missed it by like that much. I mean, I guess he thought it was up there or something. I don't know. So then the next pitch, the guy throws a slider, right? And it's a slider and a right-handed, and it breaks inside, right? And Eric is, it wasn't even close. You know, I'm watching the game. I'm looking at the pitcher. I'm focusing in. I'm even focusing on the little ball when I'm not even up at the plate yet because I want to see what he's doing. So then he throws the curveball. It bounced right there. And Eric swung. Boom. Strike three. He comes dragging over and he sits next to the bench. He goes, man, I can't believe it, man. The background behind the pitcher is so bad. You can't see the ball. I said, be quiet. Don't say that. None of us will be able to hit because if we don't focus... And we focus on the background. He said, oh, there's a white spot, and it looks like the ball. I just to be quiet. So, of course, the rest of the game, when I got up there, I struck out twice. I barely tipped the ball, and two bats went over four. Because I got up there, and he had set my focus on the background. Listen, you can't set your focus on the background in this life. The sky's blue. It's such a wonderful day. Boy, I sure can hit. Boy, it's cloudy and raining, and I can't hit. That sound like life? That sound like life? God, if it's just shiny, if it's just, you know, the sun's up and the glory of God is just really good, man, I'm a good hitter, Lord. And then the clouds come and you say, God, I can't hit because you focused on the clouds. Paul knows what he's talking about. God knows what he's talking about. He knows who we are. We can't focus on those things. We got to focus in on the Lord Jesus Christ, his truth, his way, his attributes, his glory, his character, his nature, in everything. That's the only thing that's going to sustain your walk with the Lord, sustain you being a light in anything. Because as soon as darkness comes, and Paul is in the midst of darkness, as soon as darkness comes, you can't hit. You see what he's talking about today? This is so important. So what kind of look is it when we look at the Lord Jesus Christ? We need to get what the look is so you don't have some vague thing in your mind, ooh, is it the light there? Is that it? No, that's not what he's talking about. So what kind of look is it? Look at verse 18 with me. But we all with unveiled face. That's what kind of look it is. It's an unveiled look. Listen, nothing's hiding God from you. You're a believer in Christ. Nothing's hiding it. You see it in verse 18, but we with all unveiled face. That's what he's talking about. Your face has been unveiled. Nothing's hiding God from you. The pitcher might try to be deceptive in how he hides what he's trying to do. But you know what? God gave you clear eyes. You can see. In verses 13 through 15, and before that, it says up in 2 Corinthians right there, chapter 3, it says, we're not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face. Can you imagine me trying to hit the ball with a veil? Can you imagine me trying to see the truth and the reality of this life and who God is and what God is doing with a veil? We're not like that anymore. God unveiled it. In verse 15, he says this, there's a veil over your heart. before you come to Christ. It's a veil. Your heart is hardened to the things of God. Your heart is hardened to the truths of God. It doesn't want the things of God. It says, oh, that's not fair. That's not right. How could God let that happen in life? Why is this going on like that? You know what happened in your salvation? God took that off. He just unveiled your heart. He unveiled your face. Nothing hides God from you. You have a desire in your heart to trust God, to believe God, to follow Him, to say His word is truth. His way is true. My own way, my own thoughts aren't true. That hardness of your heart, He gave you a new heart, heart of flesh, not of stone. We know the scriptures. We know the Bible. This is what Paul is talking about. You look at Jesus Christ with an unveiled face. It's unveiled, all of God's glory. It's right there for you to see. You can see all God's truth, His reality. And the battle is you're trying to make up your own, or you want it to be your own. I get it. But in John 6:40, this is what God says. Jesus said, anyone who will behold the Son, that word behold is to embrace, perceive the reality of Christ and believe and trust in Him, put their faith in this life in Him, he gets eternal life, and on the last day I'll raise him from the dead. He gets eternal life, the life of God. In that new covenant relationship that we have with God, God unveiled it all. You see the glory of God. It's an unveiled look. It's like this in Mark 8, verses 23 through 24. There's that story of the blind man that come to Christ. And he came begging Christ, heal me. Heal me. He's been blind. Heal me. Jesus put his hands on his eyes and it said it restored him. Same word, reconciled, restoration, purchase. And he took his hands off and he could see clearly from then on forever. That's what God did to you in your salvation. The only thing that hinders that is our self-gratification, our things that are tried to be taught that are wrong. But we can see, it's an unveiled look. Matthew 13 and Luke 10, Jesus turned to the disciples and said, blessed are the eyes, for they can see. You can see if you've believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted in Him. Nothing hides God from you. Nothing keeps Him from you. You can see the glory of God. That is such an incredible thing that you need to grab hold on to in this life. I can see God's glory. Now, I can't see everything that's going on. I can't see the answer to everything. I can't see the reason for everything. I can't see why the everything. But you know who I can see? I can see the God that's sovereignly over it all. I can see His mercy, His grace, His truth, His reality. I can see the glory of Christ in everything in this life. And I can focus in on that, and I can look, and I'll hit the ball. I'll stand for the Lord. I will be a testimony of Christ where other people can see. That's incredible what he's teaching on here. So it's an unveiled look. What other kind of look is it? Look at the text. Look what he says. And what kind of look is it? First, it's an unveiled look. Look at 18. We all with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord. Secondly, it's a reflective look. That's what he's talking about. So when we choose to look at the Lord and the glory of the Lord with an unveiled look, the second, it's a reflective look. It's in a mirror. Let me illustrate this for you. I got to illustrate this for you. What he's talking about, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. It's a reflective look. Now, you guys got to stay with me. I'm going to drive a car today, okay? Here's my car. Here's my steering wheel right here, right? Vroom, 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 vroom. You guys ready? You guys ready? Okay, so I'm driving along. Right there is the side view mirror. Can you guys see it? Okay, the side view mirror is right there. It's giving me a reflection of what's over there. It's Kevin. That's Kevin's over there. Let's just drive over there and get Kevin. But it's reflective what's over there, right? Right, the side view mirror? You guys get what I'm talking about? It's a reflective look. What I see in the side view mirror isn't really right there. It's reflective of what's over there. And so he says, beholding as in a mirror, as we would gaze into something, as we would look into it, it's reflective. You're going to look into it and it's going to show you what's over here. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's right here. This is the side view mirror. This is where all of us, we look in the side view mirror. This is going to reflect everything about Jesus Christ. Everything. Everything about the character, the nature, the attributes, the glory, the mercy, the love, the forgiveness, the righteousness. Everything about Christ is right here, but it's reflective. You got to look at that to see Him. That's what He's teaching us. It's right here. Everything in here is Him. Who's Noah about? Noah, Genesis 5 and 6. Who's Noah about? Build a boat, Noah, build a boat. Whoever believes in that it's going to rain, whoever trusts in what God has to say, gets in the boat, and they'll be saved. The rest of the world's going to die. Who's that about? That's about Jesus, isn't it? And then who got in the boat? The ones that received the grace of God. That's what it says right in the text. Who's that about? The whole story's about Christ. It's not about Noah. It's about Christ. And you look at it and you see Christ everywhere. You see him here. You see him there. Who's Abraham about? Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him as righteousness of what God requires. Well, who came to do that? Who came that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God will impute you his righteousness. He'll consider it your faith in God, in Christ, as what God requires, righteousness. He's just an illustration of Christ. What's the seed of Abraham? You know that, Abraham, the promise, in your seed, all the promises, I'm going to build a nation out of you, Abraham. Who's God building a nation through? Who's he building it through? Who's he building his people, his church? It's all, look in the Bible, who is it? It's Jesus Christ, it's reflective. Who's Isaac about, the son of Abraham? Who's that about? The promised child that God promised would come and that he would build a nation through, that he would build a people through, this one that would come, the promised child, that he would come to you. Who's that about? Is that about Isaac or Abraham? No, that's about Jesus Christ. Everything in the Old Testament is a foreshadowing and points you to Christ. It points you to the truth of Christ. Abraham took Isaac and offered him up on a sacrifice on an altar. Killed his own son, the child of promise. Who's that about? Who's that about, church? It's about Jesus Christ. It isn't about Abraham or Isaac. It's about Christ and for us to see the truth and the reality of Christ. And then when Isaac or Abraham goes to kill Isaac, what's provided in the thicket? A lamb. The Lamb of God who comes and takes away the sins of the world. You've got to see the Word of God for what it is. It's about Jesus Christ. Who is Joseph about? We're studying Sunday school. Who's he about? Who's the one that came to bring reconciliation, redemption, restoration? To bring the family back together so God's, by his divine order, by his providence, by his sovereignty, that he was going to do what God was going to do in the world. Joseph's about Jesus Christ. It's all about Christ. Listen to what Christ said in John 5. Listen, we got to be looking reflective in here and seeing Christ, his character, his nature, his truth. This life is about Jesus. That's what it's about. Who he is, why he came, what he did. And our lives being reflective of who he is, why, what he came and what he did. That's what it's about. That's all of it. That's it. That's where it is. And if you're going to sustain that life, you're going to have to look at who he is. That's what Paul, what God is teaching. Jesus said in John 5:34, you search the scriptures because you think in them you have the eternal life. And he's talking about the Old Testament. He said, it's the scripture that testifies about me. I'm the one you have eternal life in. Jesus told the disciples on the road to Emmaus, He talked about himself. He started with Moses, and he explained the things about his glory to himself. And he taught them all about it. This is all about Christ, who he is, why he came, what he did, the glory of Christ. What are the Gospels about? They're about the life of Christ, the testimony of Christ. They're not about you. Is any of this really about you? Is this really book about you? Is it about me? Look, God wrote a book, and he got me in it. And you know, the only part that's in here that's about me, that I'm such a sinner and I need such mercy that God rescued me by his son so I could focus in on his son and live like his son. That's the only me that's in here. That's the me that's in here. That's what the Gospels are about. Jesus Christ has lived. The book of Acts is about when Christ left and the Holy Spirit came and salvation came, what the church that God started to change the world looked like that was following Christ and living for Christ. What are the epistles about? Look at the epistles, all that we study, like we're in one today. What are they all about? They're all about Jesus' instructions to his church, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, and how we're to live this life so we represent Christ. Revelation is all about Christ. Revelation 1:1 says the revelation of Jesus Christ. We got to focus in on what it's about. It's not about the crowd. It's not about the background. It's not about my health. It's not about how well I can do. It's not about my swing. It's not about where I hold my hands. It's not about what life is. I got to focus in on the ball. We got to focus in on the ball. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says right here in this book is the mind of Christ, how he thinks on everything. We got to know his truth, his way. This is the reality of life, and it's the truth of Christ. So it's an unveiled look and it's a reflective look. And I got to move along or we'll be here late. And you guys will be giving me a dirty look. It's a reflective look. And thirdly, it's an intentional look. Look at verse 13. Let me get my Bible back open. Can I get one of the ushers to turn the blower on up here? Just get a little air up here. It might be my expression that's making me warm. But it might be that it's warm a little bit. So look at 3:18 again. So we got a reflective, unveiled look. Nothing's hiding God from you. Reflective look. You can see the glory of God, all that you want to see right here in His Word. And then it's an intentional look. Look what He says. But we with all unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Beholding. That's what I want to pick up on. That's intention. Beholding. What are you looking at when you look at God's Word, His truth? What are you looking at? How you can change the background? Let me just confront that for a minute. Is that what you're looking at? God changed the sky. I'm going to look in your Word, change the sky. Is that your focus when you're looking at God's Word? I got a bad marriage, a struggling marriage, a difficult marriage. You read Ephesians 5:25 and it says, husband, love your wives like Christ loved the church. And then so you look at that and then you're saying, God, I'm going to do what you have to say. I'm going to love my wife like Christ loved me because I want the sunny skies to come. You guys tell me what my focus was. Sunny sky, right? You're not going to sustain this life without looking at the ball. You're not even going to see God's Word truthfully when you don't look at the Christ and His truth and His glory. We make other things the focus. Hey, man, God, you know what? The background, you got to change. I'll never be able to live for the Lord unless the background changes. And He says, hey, you can hit if you'll just look at the ball. And that's what He's teaching us here. It's an intentional look. Beholding, that's what it means, intentional. Beholding. It means you look intently. It's looking intently. Intensity with intention. That kind of look. Let me illustrate it with you. Baseball again. I'm having fun today because you know my heart's in baseball, right? So I'm at the plate and here's the pitcher's throwing, right? And I gave you some pitches that Eric missed, right? So you're here at the plate and here comes the pitch. I'm just not seeing the ball. Hey, it's just coming up here some way and I'm going to go, it's just kind of up here coming at me some way. Because you got to look at intentionally at the Lord Jesus Christ and His truth. You got to look at the ball with intention. Right? Okay, so that ball is coming at 92 about right here. What's my intention? Move my chin out of the way. If I'm not looking at it with attention, what happens with the ball? Hits me in the chin. So then it's coming in, and now it's got a curve, and I see the spin on it. It's got threads on it. You can see the threads when they throw it. Seriously, you can. And you see it turn over, and it's spinning like this. And so now you know it's going to curve. You, in my life, what I'm doing is I'm looking at the ball, and as it's coming with intensity and with intention, okay, it's going to curve. So if I'm going to hit it, I'm going to have to do something different, drop my hands, wait, and then hit. I have intention in my life by what it has to say and what it's doing. It's 92 on the outside. It's now to change something on the inside. Now, I want you to get this. When God speaks in His Word, as we listen to His Word and as we apply it to our life, we have to have intention. So when it says something, how does that come to me, Lord? God, what does that say to me? How does this truth of mercy or of grace or of reality or of hope or of purpose or of love or of conviction or of how do these things come? What is my intention with my life? How am I making the adjustment? Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 4:31 and following. Let me just show you this. You have to have intention. What's the way of life, Lord? What's the truth of life? What's the purpose of life? What's the Christ way for me? What's the Christ truth for me? What's my purpose? Ephesians 4:31, just a few pages over. Look at. I got a bunch in your outline, but I just picked one. Now here is the pitch. Here is the truth of Christ. Here's the reality of Christ. You guys tell me what the intention is. You tell me what your intention should be in intensity and your intention, beholding this truth. What is my intention with it? Listen to what it says. Ephesians 4:31, talking to the body of Christ. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love just as Christ loved you and gave Himself up for you an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. You heard the Word of God, right? God's Word to you. It's not about, so I'm going to do this so the background changes. I'm going to do this to sustain my life. I have to have intention. What does it say? You missed the ball if you have no forgiveness in your life. You weren't even looking at the ball. You weren't seeing the attribute, the character of Christ. If you got no love going on, if you're not trying to love somebody, you're not forgiving. What you're saying is the pitch and the ball coming up here doesn't matter. What matters is me. What matters is what I want. What matters is what I want to have in this life. What matters is what made me bothered. What matters is that I'm irritated. And then it says, put all bitterness and wrath and anger and slander and clamor away from you. Put it away, because you will not forgive and you will not love if those are in your life. Do you see the intention of your life by the word of God and the glory of God and the nature of God and the character of God, that he saved you to bring you to forgiveness so the love of God would pour out of your life? That's what he's trying to teach us in this. You got to look at Christ that way and his word and his truth. If you look at it to change any of the background, you miss the whole point. And let me tell you, my testimony, and all week long, God been confronting me with, hey, that was about your background, not about me. This is true. That's why I'm preaching it this way. That's why I'm ecstatic about it, because it's true. This is what Paul is talking about. You got to behold the glory of the Lord. You can't see God's word so you can behold your glory. How many different ways can I say it? And this is who we are, and we got to ask God, forgive us for making this about my glory. Forgive me about making it about this. We're going to elect a president of the United States. Get on our face and say, God, make it about your glory. Because everyone in the room is worried about yours. I know it to be true. Because we want it about ours and how he's going to fix this and we can have that and everything will be made right. God, mess it all up to bring people to you. That's the heart of the believer that's going to sustain your life. That's the absolute truth. You can walk out of here and you cannot look at the pitch and make no adjustment to your life. You have the free will to choose that in Christ Jesus. But that's not what he's asking us. That's not going to be a testimony so people see that our life is better than somebody else's. My life, the intention is to display God's character, not fix the background. That's why I'm hearing God's word. So it's an unveiled look, it's a reflective look, and it's an intentional look. And if we will do this, look at the text, if this is what our heart is, and all of us are no good at it, I get it. But we're trying, and we're surrendered to the Lord. But this is, if our intention is to look reflective in the Word of God with an unveiled face and see, behold God's truth about all this and what it's about, and his glory and his character and his nature, and all that who he is. This is what the text says. It's a transforming look. Verse 18. Are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Now let me ask you, if you don't really look reflective at the glory of the Lord, you don't see the truth of God's word, his glory, his character, attribute, is there any change really going on in your life? Is there any transformation, any really going on in your life? Or is it just trying to fill some hole so it moves on in your life? See, this is what I want to get to. Transformation takes place by the power of God. It changes the way you live, the way you think, and what you live for. And if you see the way you live and your thinking changing and what you live for changing, then you know that you're focusing in on the glory of God. Because guess what? Every one of us needs to change the way we think. Is that a good place for an amen? You guys got it all right? I'm still learning. I'm going to be learning. Tom, you got it all right? You're what? A mature believer in Christ. God's changing the way you live tomorrow, isn't he? Still, now maybe we're not so far from where we might want to be and all that kind of stuff, but that's what it is. See, when you capture what I'm talking about, say, hey, that's what it is today. You can live your life. You can go to Little League and you can cheer on your kids and you can, you know, you can eat Taco Bell and you can have all of it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about focusing in on Christ and who he is and what we're here for. It transforms the way you're living. To be like Christ with his character, his way, his reality for him. Romans 12:2 says it this way. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't let the world shape you. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Same word, same idea that he's talking about. The word transformed here is this. It means this. In both of these texts. It's metamorpho in the Greek. In English it's metamorphosis. And it's where God transforms the outside to match what's the inside. In your salvation, that's what's in you. In fact, when I pass away and I get out of this body and I go meet Christ, I'll see him and I will be just like he is. Because that's what's inside me. You know a butterfly? You know, a caterpillar is already a butterfly. You just don't see it. It's already in them, and God makes it come out. That's what he's talking about. And God will transform our life. That's what he'll do. He does that. Now, I'll take baseball again, but I'll stay up here. You guys are tired of me sitting down there looking like I can hit a baseball. You don't know how bad your swing is. No matter how bad your thinking or how bad your ability, if you focus on the ball, you can hit. I guarantee it. See, this isn't about you. It's about you focusing on the one that is really doing the hitting. God, no matter the background, you focus on the Lord's glory, God will change the way you live, the way you think, the way and what you live for, and it will become more like Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about in the text. We just begun to look at this text. This thing is so rich and full about what God's doing in our life. And you know what? Forgive me if I got a little too admonishing about, you know, what we do. And I don't know what's in your life and what your heart is all the time. And I shouldn't expound that. I know, I'm talking about me. I know mine. And I know God needs to help me and I need to focus. But let's close with this. Look at the front of your bulletin. You guys forgive me? Oh, I didn't get any amens there. I'm in trouble. I know you forgive me because Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you'll focus in on the ball, and so it'll come. Front of the bulletin, look at what it says here. When I saw, I reflected upon it. I looked and received instruction. Now, this is such a great proverb. This is in the natural life that he looked, what he saw. He saw some land. He saw a sluggard. He saw people that were lazy. He saw people that weren't taking care of what they needed to take care of. And he looked at it and saw what they were focusing on. He reflected upon it. He looked and he received instruction. And he said, you know, I just can't. The proverb is, I just can't be a sluggard or lazy or that thing in life. But what this is talking about sums up what we just studied, doesn't it? Here's the way it's translated in Septuagint. That's the Greek translation of the Hebrew text. They translate it in Greek, so it's Greek words, and then you get the definition of Greek words, and here's what this actually says in the Septuagint, in the Greek. It goes like this: when I beheld, when I saw with intention, I set my heart upon it. I gave attention to discern and laid hold of and took possession of instruction. And the word in the Greek instruction is correction, admonishment, chastening, discipline. Thank you, Craig, for reading 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. You had no idea that the front of the bulletin said the same thing in the Greek. That when we see, when we set our heart upon God's word, his truth, and behold the glory of God in them all, and we give attention to it, to discern it, lay hold of it, take possession of it, of the correction, of the admonishment, of the chastening, of the discipline, of the way of righteousness, God changes us. He changes the way we live, the way we think, and he changes on what we live for. It's a teaching right out of 2 Timothy 3:16. It's the same thing. The Word of God is profitable because the Word of God is displaying the character, the nature, the attributes of Christ himself all the way through. And if we'll focus in on it, we'll, with an unveiled face and looking in the Word of God with intention on what God changes our life. It's an absolute truth. What a glorious God we serve, amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning and for your Word and just encouraging us in your truth. We thank you, Lord, that it's a patient walk that you have with us, a kind walk, a gentle walk. There's Of course, Lord, you desire for us to live for you. Of course, Lord, you desire for us to reflect you and be a testimony of you. But your long-suffering, your patience, your kindness in the journey that we're on, you're just interested in one more step today. We have a tendency to run or think that we have to get everything accomplished, like in our home, for working on our yard, that if the yard isn't completely all fixed the way we want it, somehow we haven't arrived. But that's not that way with you. It's one weed at a time. It's moving a little bit of ground. It's planting a little seed. It's springing forth a flower of God's truth upon our heart to where we reflect you in just that little way. It's a journey with you. It's a walk with you. Help us to embrace that that's what it's about. Let's not even get prideful about how far we've gone, because it's all you that has got us there. And how much farther is two steps than three or than one? Not really in this life. Let's be grateful and thankful that you've brought us to yourself, and that we see you, and that in our heart you have set intention for us to receive your word, your truth, and apply it to our life, and do the best we can in our heart to do what you say to do.